Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the Attorney General of the great state of Nevada, Ray Hager, has the rundown.
Thanks, Sam. Today's guest is Catherine Cortez Masto, and we'll be talking extensively about the global mortgage settlement.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Lynn Warney, Steve Robinson, and Angie Taylor. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
California Closets, the leader in home storage solutions, is serving the Reno Tahoe area. Let our team of specialists help you reimagine new spaces in your home or office. Call or go online today to schedule your free in-home design consultation.
Hey, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Why are you still sitting on that couch? You know you could be out there cooking for a living. You speak food. That's why you got to call Le Cordon Bleu. They'll help get you out there with training in less time than you think. Sounds good, right? So grab your phone right now and call Le Cordon Bleu. They'll send you a complimentary career guide so you can see what it's really like to work in the culinary arts.
Call 800-817-5790 or text GOLCB68 to 94576. Call or text now.
Did you call yet?
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
Is your garage a disaster area? California Closets can help. We can turn your messy garage into a model of organization. Zero down, 0% financing available. Call or go online today to schedule your free in-home design consultation.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program the Attorney General of the great state of Nevada, Catherine Cortez Masto. Pleasure to have you back on the program, ma'am.
Thank you, Sam.
You were very much involved with the mortgage settlement, the AGs across the United States, both Republicans and Democrats, as Senator Bryan reminded me on this program, all signed off on. But Gretchen Morgenson, who writes for the New York Times and writes the Fair Game column on Sundays, back in February, the headline for her story was, "The deal is done, but hold the applause." It's hard to imagine that this one settlement will be enough to restore trust in loan services, given what we know about their questionable practices, how they larded improper fees on struggling homeowners, for example, and forced people to buy home insurance at 3 times market rates. Restoring confidence in these firms will take some doing. There is no doubt that the banks are happy with this deal. You would be, too, if your bill for lying to courts and end running the law came to $2,000 per loan file. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't disagree with her. I mean, that really is the concern that I had all along when we were looking at this mortgage settlement, when it finally came to us. It came to us after they'd already negotiated the terms with the banks, and then we basically, our decision was, okay, can we live with it or not? And so I really had to fight for certain positions that I knew that I could at least try to change to the benefit of the people in this state.
And you were one of the last holdouts along with the
Attorney
General of California.
Exactly, and that was one of the reasons we were fighting on some issues relative to homeowner relief, relative to what was in the actual release for the states on what we can still pursue the banks on, because that was my concern. At the end of the day, what were the banks really ponying up?
And nothing.
What type of relief were we going to get for our homeowners?
I mean, they walked away with nothing. They already wrote off the $65 billion. They're making more money than ever. And really, nothing has changed.
Right. And so that's the biggest concern that I had, that Kamala Harris had, that a number of AGs had, as you saw as we walked through this process.
So why did everybody sign off on this?
You know, I can't answer that. I was not part of the negotiating team.
Right, but you agreed to the final settlement.
Oh, for purposes of Nevada, yeah, I can tell you why I signed off on it. Because at the end of the day, it brings some relief to homeowners. And I couldn't ignore that. If I was able to...
You're talking about the $2,000... per person?
No. And kind of let me jump back here. there's more to it than just the $2,000. That's a small piece of it.
No, and I do understand, but that's true.
But at the end of the day, what we were able to negotiate, a separate and apart from the settlement, was a separate settlement with Bank of America, guaranteed relief for homeowners, and a floor of $750 million that involves principal reduction in first and second liens, short sales, and deeds in lieu. So we were able to actually negotiate an additional settlement, a side settlement with Bank of America that guaranteed relief for homeowners.
But
that was one of the reasons.
Doesn't the settlement, though, in a way strengthen the bank's position on these second mortgages?
Yes and no. It depends on how the process moves forward, and it depends on whether the bank owns that second mortgage or not. At the end of the day, though, from my perspective, listen, I could not go after all of the banks. I did not have all of the leverage to do what really needed to be done. What we are talking about are 20% of the mortgages across the country, because that's the portfolio the banks own. So from my perspective, it was, what can I preserve to still pursue in our criminal and civil litigation, whether it's the banks or any other third party or entity, and then can I get some relief for homeowners? And I couldn't ignore the fact that we were bringing relief to some homeowners in our state that need it, and that was something that had to be considered. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're right. The cake was pretty much baked for me when I received the settlement, and it was whether we were going to sign on or not. I will be honest with you and tell you, if I could not have negotiated that separate settlement with Bank of America and get guaranteed relief for homeowners, I probably would not have signed on.
But isn't there an ongoing investigation that applies to the mortgages with Bank of America as a portfolio?
In my office, that actual particular settlement or that ongoing litigation was settled as part of this overall settlement. That's the side settlement that I was talking about.
All right, okay.
Let me ask you this. You know, how important was the Nevada versus Bank of America settlement in the Ninth Circuit? What really is it, and what is the impact it has had?
Yeah, that was very important. It was very important for all of the states that are in the Ninth Circuit jurisdiction, because what it basically said was, as attorneys general, we have, because of our the hat that we wear in protecting the constituents of our state, our parens patriae is what we call it.
What does that mean?
The Latin term. Our representation of the individuals within our state. We can move forward in representing them, and it doesn't have to be considered a class action or a mass action under some of the federal acts that are out there. So, in other words, we have a separate authority and power based on our jurisdiction and our representation of the state to move forward. What was happening in this area was Bank of America was trying to force us into federal court and claiming it was a mass action or a class action. And we're saying as AGs, no, that's not what we do. That is a private right of action that an individual can have, but that's not attorneys general,
and that's
not what we do.
And that's where the public gets totally screwed. If it goes into a federal case, then who knows when it could end up being settled.
And that was what was happening with a lot of this litigation, and that was the playbook for the banks. We would file, and what we did is we filed in state court because we said you violated our state laws. And they said, well, you know what, we're going to remove it to federal court, and we believe that there's a federal action here. We went to federal court to try to get it remanded back to state court and lost. That's why we went to the Ninth Circuit, and we said, no, this is a state action. It's state laws. I'm the Attorney General of the state. I'm representing the people here who are harmed. This is not a private action. It's not a class action or a mass action, and that's why this case was so important, because it really solidified the authority of the Attorneys General, in particular in the Ninth Circuit, with our jurisdiction and representing the people of our state.
All right, let's take a break. More with the Attorney General of the great state of Nevada when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is coming to South Reno. Enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit of South Virginia.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is coming to South Reno. Enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the Attorney General of the great state of Nevada, Catherine Cortez Masto. I wanted to ask you if you know whether any of the banks are relenting on their no principal reduction stances.
Don't know yet, and this is a concern of mine, and that's why something I'm going to be monitoring and why I fought as part of the settlement to be on the National Monitoring Committee with the states. We are in the process in my office now of identifying the administrators and the monitors who are going to help us monitor and follow up with the quarterly reporting that these banks have to supply to all of the states, and particularly Bank of America to Nevada. So that's something that we will be watching very closely, because I will tell you, the first time that I hear that some bank is reneging on this, we are going to be taking action.
All right, and last question on this topic. Are you taking a position on the licensing issue for foreclosure trustees relative to the state of Nevada finding that they need foreign debt collectors' licenses?
No, I haven't seen or heard about this issue yet. This is the first time I'm hearing about it.
Okay, we will pursue this at a later date, but give you a chance to follow up on that.
Thank you.
Okay, to change the subject a little bit, I want to talk to you about your Medicaid fraud team. Mm-hmm. From 2008 to 2010, you guys recovered $20 million. And what is going on with Medicaid now with the Affordable Care Act, that Nevada's Medicaid caseload could increase by 125,000 to 150,000. Do you think if the caseload goes up under the Affordable Care Act, do you feel that the fraud of Medicaid could possibly increase in Nevada?
Yeah, I'm not sure they're related, and let me tell you why, and let me distinguish. The type of Medicaid fraud we look at is the provider fraud. Now, within the Medicaid office and the executive branch under Health and Human Services Division, they go after recipient fraud. So what we look is the provider fraud. So the question would be whether or not there is more provider fraud occurring based on the increase of the caseload. I'm not sure that dictates it. What you have to look at is the amount that we pay out. We, as a state, really, in the payments that we make for Medicaid to providers, it's a very low payment. If you compare us to the other states, mm-hmm. we don't pay as much as the other states do. So that really also controls the amount of fraud we see in our state. But at the same time, it's always a concern for me when we know that there's going to be more money coming in to the state if possible, more a larger caseload to address these issues. Absolutely. Anytime, I will tell you this, and this has been something that I have seen constantly, anytime there's federal money that comes into the state for whatever program, there's always going to be some sort of fraud associated with it. I mean, it's just natural, and that's what happens. People come out of the woodwork to try to get that money somehow and scam or scheme to get it. We've seen it with the mortgage industry. No doubt we'll see it with Medicaid. We see it with other examples.
Okay.
Thank you. The story in today's Las Vegas Sun from David McGrath Schwartz follows up on a national story that the New York Times broke, that Nevada police are routinely tracking cell phone users without warrants, according to court documents and documents obtained by the American Civil Liberties Union. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, this is an issue that I've also been reading about, just hearing about as well, and I honestly have to kind of explore it a little bit more to see what's happening. In my
office. Does it make you uncomfortable?
It does, and I'm not sure how in the authority they're using to move forward with this, and so that's why I want to get back.
The phone companies are charging. They have a fee scale, according to the New York Times, that law enforcement can go to them and work with them, and there's a fee scale to follow a person via their GPS.
Right, and I've read that as well. I'm going to go back and talk with my investigators. As you know, I have about 48 investigators, and as we move through our investigations for any type of crime, and see how they're handling this as well. It is a concern of mine. It may be a new area. It may, because of the new technology that we constantly see, we're always forging ahead ahead with new areas of law that we have to address. And this may be one of those areas, but it's something that absolutely I'm reading about and just as concerned.
So basically, I should book you for a show about 6 weeks from now so you can answer all these questions I'm bringing up.
That's right.
You know, in a recent op-ed piece for that you wrote for the Reno Gazette Journal, you pointed out that thoughts about using the Yucca Mountain Nuclear Repository, quote, as a research facility, and that Nevada should negotiate for benefits is just pure fallacy. If you could expand on that.
Well, yes, I will. First of all, let me just say there has never been any money tied to our taking that waste for Yucca Mountain there, nor is there any money in the future for that. And you think about it. To get money for any type of project here, we have to go through Congress, and it would have to be an act or a bill that was passed in Congress. Number one, that's going to be very difficult to do. Number two, there's no guarantee that that will exist in the long term. Congress after that, or any sitting Congress, can change it. Mm-hmm. So there's no guarantee that it's going to last forever. But at the same time,
the Screw Nevada law has lasted, it seems, forever.
That's exactly, and we don't have any money tied to that. And so that's the concern that we have. But more importantly, we're talking about what I'm seeing in this energy park that they're talking about is looking at not just research, but reprocessing and doing something with this waste. Well, reprocessing is just, it's not something we do in the United States now. It's very heavy, intensive use of water. It's not safe. And so there's a lot of areas that we have concerns about with respect to just talking about the research and the energy.
But there are forms of reprocessing in Europe that they've been doing for years.
But again, it's very water intensive, and the waste that comes from it is not a safe waste, and that's exactly why we didn't allow it here in the United States, and that's why President Carter long ago passed a law actually did not allow it to come here to the United States. And that is a concern that we have here. But at the same time, you have to consider what they're talking about here is not just the reprocessing, but still accepting the waste into Yucca Mountain. And what we know, at least from our perspective and our science that we have found, it is not safe. Long ago, when they first passed the Screw Nevada bill, they guaranteed us that these were natural barriers and don't worry, it'll be safe. Well, when we went in and we took a look at it, there were no natural barriers. It wasn't safe. It was still seeping through. So then they said, the feds said, well, don't worry, we'll have man-made barriers, will be safe.
We're out of time, but I would ask you this. Tybe Cobb has a completely different perspective, a very well-respected gentleman, worked as a special advisor to President Reagan. Would you be willing to debate him on this program, on this topic?
Actually, no, and here's why. There's no reason to debate it. For my purpose, we're very clear in what we're seeing. We have ongoing litigation right now with respect to whether or not Yucca Mountain should be licensed, and I'd prefer to save my arguments for that litigation. And quite honestly, at the end of the day, I've never heard any concrete arguments to prove that this would be a benefit to the state.
Mr. Cobb would have a different perspective, but I appreciate your position. Thank you so much for being here, and please put it on your calendar. Come back in a couple of months, and let's talk about some more of these issues.
Thank you.
Very important to the great
appreciate
state.
Appreciate it.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts, so you can succeed, so you can plan, so you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Come to an Ethan Allen Design Center today and find more than just great styles. You'll also find great value in our free design service and in free local delivery. Plus, shop the April sale and get special savings or 48-month financing.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
Cuba is the way. Cuba is the way. Cuba is the party. This is the Charter International Dateline facility where scientists have created the most powerful internet with which I just viewed season one of Game of Thrones on HBO Go. Charter TV in HD, upon which I will view season two by crossing this line into the future.
Oh. Get a free DVR when you bundle and let it all in.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. We have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Steve Robinson is here, Senior Advisor for R&R Partners. Lynn Warney is President of the Nevada State Education Association. And Angie Taylor is Consultant with Guardian Quest. So, Ms. Warney, Romney adds three victories and clashes with Obama. It was really important for him to win Wisconsin, and he did handily. Your thoughts on that?
He did. You know, Nevada's going to be an important state of this campaign. I think from the beginning, at least from our point of view, we have expected Romney to probably get the nomination, so we're looking at a Romney-Obama race, and Nevada's going to be key in that. We're going to gear up. We've already been gearing up for months for this election cycle, so we're looking forward to it.
Romney looks tired.
He does. It's been a tough campaign. They've been beating each other up. There's been a lot of scrapping out on the road. You know, we saw it in the Democratic race when there were so many, you know, contenders in that primary. Same thing's now happening with Republicans.
Steve, New York Times editorial calling radicalism by its name. President Obama's fruitless three-year search for compromise with Republicans ended in a thunderclap of a speech on Tuesday as he denounced the party and its presidential candidates for cruelty and extremism. He accused his opponents of imposing on the country a radical vision that is antithetical to our entire history as a land of opportunity.
Why doesn't he tell us what he really thinks?
He said the GOP budget plan embodies radical vision.
Well, game on, I guess. I mean, he's been campaigning for 2 years, and this is more of the same. And I always look for the president, any president, to be presidential, and I'm always disappointed with him. He takes the partisan route at every turn he can, and yesterday was just another example of that. And not as a partisan, which I am, but as an analyst, I think he makes a mistake by doing that all the time.
Well, you know, I mean, the first part of his term he spent doing a lot to try and compromise with Republicans on the Hill, and it didn't work out very well for him, did it?
Well, no, it didn't. I think if you ask the leadership, the Republican leadership, they would say that the hand they held out was not reciprocated.
Angie, your views?
Oh, my view is different than that. I believe he did hold out a hand, and I think he held that hand out for an extended period of time. And I actually believe that's really when the partisanship got really dug in, and the lines were really drawn there. And I think President Obama had to make the difficult and unfortunate decision. I have to find some other ways to try to really work and move the country forward. I, for one, was disappointed that there was not more collegiality, not more working together during the beginning of that term.
Well, if we can move the conversation back to Nevada, and if it's a Romney versus Obama race, I really think that because of the voter registration, Obama has a leg up in Nevada simply because of there's more Democrats registered than there are Republicans.
Well, have a quizzical look on your face, could you?
Well, no, you're probably right. He does have a leg up, and the whole Romney campaign and their approach and how they're gonna particularly deal with the West is still a question mark, at least in my mind. They've been working the East, and I think concentrated on the South. How they're going to attract Nevada voters and Western voters, I don't know yet. And I don't think, knowing a few people that are in the campaign, they don't have a heck of a lot of Western intelligence on that campaign at this point.
And you know, when during the time of the caucus, when all the Republican presidential candidates were in the state, I really didn't see a lot of emotional support for Romney. It was more like country club tea and crumpets, let's give him a clap, and you know, well, who else are we going to back, so let's back Romney. 4 years ago there was, you know, Obama came and he really showed charisma, and I guess the Republican, the Governor Romney, doesn't show the same charisma that we had from the Democratic candidate 4 years ago. I don't know if Obama
Nobody on American
keep this.
Idol shows the kind of charisma that the president is showing. I do want to raise an issue, though, because it came out also in the last 24 hours with a new poll that shows that Dean Heller is slightly ahead against Shelley Berkley, despite the fact that the Democrats have a higher registration. The independents are going with Heller at this point. So it's kind of a little bit of an imbalance there. And once again, the independents are the real players.
That's true, and that's true. I think we've still got a long way to the election. You know, you can look at numbers in polls. You can look at numbers in voter registration. I think, you know, it's going to be... It's really going to be decided, obviously, by who shows up at the polls. Voter turnout, I think, is going to be a huge, huge piece of this election, and I think that's going to determine, obviously, who's going to win or lose.
You know what I think? What's wrong with Shelley Berkley's campaign right now, especially in Northern Nevada? When she comes to Northern Nevada, she holds a press conference. The media comes, she gets a write-up in the newspaper and some mention on the TV. But what her campaign is lacking is real retail politics, getting out and shaking hands. And she's good at this. I remember in the 2011 Nevada Day Parade when she worked the line at the chili feed. She was very good, and I think she really needs to get back to that strategy if she's going to overcome Dean Heller.
I agree. And are you not surprised to not see Shelley Berkley, for example, on programs like these? Dean Heller will be here next week. I can't even get a call back from the press secretary.
I'm looking for the Berkley campaign to realize that in Northern Nevada, it's important. You have to press the flesh. You have to be a part. People want connection. And in Northern Nevada, that's really important to us here. So I'm with you. I'm looking for a campaign to recognize that and make that shift if she's going to have a really shot of getting the kind of support she needs from this part of the state. And I think she's a great candidate.
And that's where we have to leave it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers. Thank you all after this timeout.
Not too long ago, this was considered state-of-the-art rug cleaning. Today, this is the state-of-the-art, and the only one to offer it in Northern Nevada is the Carpet Tender. Thanks to an incredibly powerful vacuum and dusting system, the amount of dirt removed by this system before actual washing begins is amazing. Nothing comes close to the Carpet Tender rug washing plant. For unbeatable washing of all your area rugs, including Orientals, Navajos, and other heirloom rugs, call the Carpet Tender. Remember, it's the Carpet Tender, or something less.
At Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we know you need health insurance that covers your family as they grow.
Sorry, Dad.
I'm good.
And if you don't get health insurance through work...
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers coverage your family can count on.
Whoa, slow down, Chief.
Especially parents. Whether you need basic coverage for yourself or more protection for your family, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers a variety of coverage options for different needs and budgets. If you're self-employed, retiring early, or can't get health coverage at work, call Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield today for a free quote. Call 1-800-868-0672 or visit anthemforhealth.com to compare plans and apply.
Get that number?
I wrote it down.
Affordable coverage from a name you can trust. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
I'm Dr. Gary Ailes, president of Sierra Veterinary Hospital and a client of City National Bank. Well, I've been with City National since they first came to Carson City. And thinking about the experience of when my banker said, this probably isn't the right product at the right time, I really appreciated that. I've got a lot of people that rely on me for their livelihood. I have such faith in City National that I've moved everything that I deal with to City National. City National is the way up for me and my business.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Thanks, Sam. Tomorrow's guest is former University Regent Howard Rosenberg, who is running for a seat on the Washoe County School Board.
It'll be quite the show. You will be fascinated. We'll see you on the next broadcast.